Audio commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 30th of November, recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, we had mixed activity, although most indices were a bit lower. Japan had one of the bigger percentage declines, interrupting its recent upward trend. It was down 1.87% for the Nikkei, and that was largely on the back of a rally by the yen. Now, the European stock markets mostly closed with small losses. Stockholm was the exception, that's Sweden, of course, closing with a tiny gain. And in the Americas, Wall Street was in the minus column for pretty much the whole day, just moved to the plus column very briefly, but closed with modest losses, 0.61% down on the Standard & Poor's 500. The government bond markets were quite active. Now, prices were strong in the bunds and also for gilts after some recent weakening. They were also strong in the USA, although those gains were paired right back towards the close. More on that in a moment. The dollar index continued to push ahead. The dollar rally generally continued to push ahead. The dollar index is up to 81.34, and the euro was the main fall guy here again today, down to 129.81 on those sovereign debt concerns. Precious metals had quite a good day. Gold currently trading at 1383.65, so firm in U.S. dollar prices despite the continued rally in the U.S. dollar. And elsewhere, I see lumber has bounced a little bit in here. The industrial metals were firmer in here today for the most part. Just going to check that, so I can see all the futures prices in the industrial metals were stronger. So they clearly got a boost from the rally that we've seen in the precious sector. In the grain and bean complex, rough rice and soybeans were higher. Corn was down, wheat flat. And those are really the main highlights, although I see sugar more than retraced yesterday's gains. And also crude oil is down just over $2, back to 83.69. Okay. So what's going on here generally? Well, the main story, as you'll know from every one of these broadcasts over the last 3 to 4 weeks, is that we are in a corrective phase following 12 consecutive weeks or more to the upside, depending on which stock markets you're actually looking at. But that was a very strong advance. Anytime you get most of the stock markets around the world moving up for 12 consecutive weeks, that's really atypical and therefore unsustainable beyond the short to medium term, and is inevitably followed by some sort of corrective phase and quite likely a process of mean reversion towards the medium-term uptrend mean represented by the 200-day moving averages that you can see most appropriately on the weekly candlestick charts in the library. Now, so this was a predictable corrective phase. I see no evidence that it's over, and I think it's just a question of how much sideways ranging do we get relative to downward moves in the indices. And I think the answer really is a bit of both, but I don't think that this is a big sell-off. In other words, I don't think that it's going to be anything like that April sell-off. One of the reasons for that is because we have a cushion of underlying support for most indices in the form of the very broad trading ranges that had occurred earlier this year. And also seasonal factors are quite favorable as well. We don't have a dollar crisis, quite clearly. Do we have a euro crisis? Well, there's an awful lot of talk about it and a lot of uncertainty over the euro. We certainly have a sovereign debt crisis in the so-called PIGS countries, and some additional fears of contagion. But remember, for Fulmini themes, which includes companies that are Western companies, multinational companies that are leveraged to the Asian-led global economy, they're doing very well. It's really a question in the West of some strong multinational companies, but weak domestic economies. There is a silver lining to that weak domestic economy in that that has helping to drag down the euro, which is good for the European multinational companies as they consolidate their overseas earnings in a softer euro. It boosts their euro profits. Now, the U.S. multinational companies, which we also like, but currently they're facing a moderate headwind in the form of the rising U.S. dollar, but that started from quite a low level, so we certainly don't have a major problem for them in terms of consolidated earnings. It'll be interesting to see how long this dollar rally goes on for. It started as short covering, and it's become a momentum move, and it's also currently seen as the lesser evil relative to the euro. Now, the yen had also been weakening in here, but has picked up today. For instance, the dollar yen rate's fallen back beneath the 84 level. As one who is short yen against US dollar, I'm a little bit disappointed to see that, although it's not conclusive technical action by any means. I'm suspecting that we're just going to see a little bit of ranging activity here and a somewhat stronger dollar against the yen over the next few months. Clearly, the previous downtrend has been, the medium-term downtrend has been broken, and the dollar has a short-term upward trend showing against the Japanese yen, and my guess is that the Bank of Japan is printing money actively but quietly there to increase the supply in circulation, and so they should, given their overall deflationary environment. Now, looking at the long-dated government bonds, they had been quite weak. I'm talking bond prices now. They had been quite weak prior to this recent rally. So some short covering does appear to have occurred. I've used it as an opportunity to do some baby step selling of the U.S. Treasury bonds. And I sold again here today. And I have orders over the market. My strategy is quite simple. I will lightly sell the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond futures on rallies, and I'll be quick to cover on the sell-offs, since I expect more ranging than trending overall. But the environment for long-dated government bonds is deteriorating. Generally, I think bond buyers have had a wake-up call when they've seen the spikes in European yields, And a common sense point that I've hammered home in recent months is that when you see very successful companies, multinational companies, particularly in the West, with real balance sheet strength, holding a lot of cash, but they're still going out and raising money in the long-dated government bond market, not because they need it, but because they know that rates are unsustainably low, historically really quite attractive, and so they are quite happy to take the money now because they know it will cost more later on when they might wish to use it. So we've certainly seen a bit of that. And as I say, if they want to sell bonds, do you really want to buy them? Well, I don't think so. And so I do advise investors to be very cautious regarding these bonds. If you want to stay invested in bonds, then I would consider the that emerging market bond fund that Tim Price mentioned once again. He's mentioned it before, but that he mentioned in his letter, which I posted yesterday. The name of it eludes me at the moment, but that would seem like a sensible choice to me. The maturities aren't too long. I think he said they were average of 4 or 5 year maturities, and yielding 7%. Well, I would much rather have that than Western corporate bonds, let alone any Western government bonds. And what about these precious metals? Well, a very steady performance here overall. As I mentioned at the beginning, despite I'm talking about dollar prices now, despite the strength of the greenback in the last few weeks, precious metals have also been experiencing some ranging corrective activity and mean reversion in response to their earlier overall gains. But this looks like a healthy process to me, and one that will lead to additional gains, and I think probably sooner rather than later. And by that I mean, if not before year end, in the first quarter of 2011. So I think they look quite reasonable. Silver has popped right back up close to its highs. I am concerned about the overextension relative to the MA, ditto for palladium, but they're very steady overall, and unless they start to break beneath some of the recent lows, I would give the upside the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's also true of platinum, which has been the lagging one so far, but I don't assume that that would always be the case. And I've concentrated recently my precious metal speculative activity in platinum, but they all look like they're going to go higher. And if you want to, well, most of you are interested in gold, if you want some compelling technical evidence, go into the chart library and look at gold and other currencies, and you can just click through the lot very, very quickly. And gold is exceptionally steady against all the paper. The correct way to put that, I should say, is that paper prices look vulnerable relative to gold's constant. And on that note, roll on tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.